From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Ryan O'Halloran.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you, brought to you by Metro Rooter Jaguars Today. Did I say Wednesday? I skipped right to Wednesday, didn't I? It's Tuesday, Tony.
You did.
I wanted to give Metro Rooter some love. I don't know what I'm thinking. I won't be here Wednesday.
I was wondering what you were doing. But
I love
Metro
Rooter that much. I was going to talk about them a little bonus extra time there at the beginning. It's not a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's just a Ryan O'Halloran Tuesday. What's up, Rhino?
Not much. Some family business to take care of here.
Family
first.
Business?
Yeah.
Whose family?
1010.
Oh.
I was driving in the car yesterday. I had the Frangie show on, and I heard something that was very disturbing. Tyler hit it.
Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jeff Lagerman, David Garrard, and a cast of dozens.
Hey, I know if you give me time, baby, we can do whatever we want.
Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field.
Uh-oh.
Weekdays from 10 to noon on 1010.
You don't like
what the hell was that?
It
should be
a cast
it should
of
be
dozens.
Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Ryan O'Halloran, and others.
And others.
I'm
and
the
others.
Star.
Okay. Would you be based on our polling data? Would you have been okay with Jeff Logman, Ryan O'Halloran, and others? You did come
during the
second
season.
Most
during
popular.
The season, he's on summer hiatus.
This is true. So is David Garrard. When's the last time we saw Garrard? We don't even know what state he's in.
I mean, there's a reason why you put out an SOS every Thursday.
True.
Scheduled to join us. So,
yes.
So let's get marketing on that, and you know. I secede to be the third name behind you guys.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that because we are here mostly 5 days a week. Although
and
this
a cast of dozens.
There he is.
Really? That's not even right.
He's again. No, well, you're right. It's well, if you include
players,
Duval
and coaches,
Doom and,
yeah.
and
Todd Osher,
BCB Batman, and
sure.
You know, all the guys we have come in and fill in on a temporary basis. And maybe a cast of dozens. Next week, I've got a couple new ones. I'm queuing up while Tony's gone. Tony, I told you today, senioritis has hit me in full effect.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you want to do today is fine, as far as I'm concerned. Your favorite ice cream flavor for the next 2 hours, let's break it down. Tony's already informed me that he has kicked in O'Halloran to full senioritis mode, and he has 3 more days to work.
I do.
Actually, 4 if you include today, he's off all next week, though.
I said half senioritis mode. Like
right.
I can feel the pull of the weekend on me already.
The gravitational pull of getting out of here.
Yeah.
Well, if I was him in his position flying solo the next 3 days,
yes.
It would be AFC South phone calls.
That's Friday.
It's happening Friday.
That's Friday.
So I basically would have 4 guests a day, 4 phone-ins.
He's got T-Wig tomorrow, mm-hmm. I think, coming on. You've
T-Wig
got
and I for the full 5 hours.
Osher, yeah. Because when you're number 4, you sometimes have to pull double duty, right? And then it's AFC South roundup on Friday.
That's the plan, yes.
That's how it's going to go. What day are you joining me next week?
I can probably go back to Thursday I'm busy.
Oh, he's busy. Figure out what day you're not busy and what day you're coming in. Because we got people. I got people stacking up like cordwood, like dead bodies over here wanting to get on Jaguars Today.
I'll let you know today.
All right.
I'll plug the, because I'm speaking, I'm having St. John's Sports Club next Thursday.
Oh, are you now?
Twice a year, go talk with Jaguars with those guys. And gals, so that's why I can't do it next Thursday, but Wednesday or Friday probably.
Tell them I said hello. Every time I see Doug Shull, who used to be my boss at WFOY in St. Augustine years ago, he reminds me that the last time I was scheduled to speak at that, I called in sick like that morning. I really was sick, but I see him and he goes, oh yeah, we've been meaning to get you back ever since you called in sick at the last minute, something along those lines. So, send him my fondest regards, if
I will.
You would. Where are you guys meeting today? Is that today?
No, that's next Thursday.
Oh, that's next Thursday.
A week
I got
from
you.
Thursday.
I got you.
Today is do this, and then have a 4:15 flight out of Jacksonville to Minneapolis on the Fargo tonight.
On to Fargo.
So if you see me at the Delta Club.
You thought it was Wednesday. He's been talking about why he can't come in with you next Thursday.
I don't know.
For 3 minutes, and you ask if it was today.
It was today.
And it's on a Thursday. It's a Tuesday. He thought it was Wednesday, and Ryan O'Halloran's talking about missing next week.
We will be great day. Do your job.
He's a cast of dozens, Ryan O'Halloran. Can we talk home run derby for just 30 seconds on
sure.
Jaguars Today?
Yeah.
All rise.
Oh, my goodness.
For you have been judged.
That freaking guy.
That freaking guy is my guy, and you can't have him. and he's only technically a rookie. Unbelievable. Please don't turn out to be on steroids. That's what I told my buddy Bill, who came in the wee hours of the morning last night. And please don't turn. That would be gut-wrenching, heartbreaking to me at this point in time. You don't hear much talk about that. You still see a guy getting slapped with a 50-game suspension every once in a while. So it's not like it stopped completely. Please don't let it be him. But in the meantime, I enjoyed those four or five 500-plus foot bombs last night.
I would. I'd like to apologize to Boomer Esiason.
Oh,
Phil Sims.
You've wronged them.
Grant Hill. They are no longer the worst broadcaster I've ever heard on network television. That goes to Jessica Mendoza.
Oh,
she is a train wreck. I turned it on.
Don't hold back.
I turned it to ESPN2, and I don't even know Spanish.
Was the Spanish call good?
It was better than her because it wasn't her. So I watched the last probably three quarters. And let's face it, Mark Teixeira was also pathetic.
He is bland.
Adam
as
George.
They can be.
They're trying to
that was Mark Teixeira. No, I'm kidding.
They're trying to interview these guys who can't hear him because they're in the dugout.
Yeah.
So first of all, in TV, the people these idiots make the mistake of in an event like this, stay the hell out of the way. You don't need to talk.
Right. Just watch
watching it.
Sail out of the park.
Just tell us how much time's left. What,
better or worse, though, than back?
Well, I mean, he was bad, but
it is awful.
I mean, she was terrible.
It didn't matter to me. I could have turned the sound down and enjoyed the fact that, hey, Mike Stanton, I'm still calling you Mike after that one last night. We sent the B team after you, and you couldn't handle it, all right?
Sanchez is pretty good.
He is pretty good.
I will say, you know, the Home Run Derby became a very mundane thing to watch. Like, I can remember a handful of years ago when they were doing you got 10 outs or whatever, it just wasn't the same as a head-to-head competition. I had a bunch of people on my timeline that were very upset that Stanton hit 17 home runs or whatever it was and still got eliminated. I was like, it's a bracket competition now.
Right.
You got to beat the guy that you're going to head-to-head against. So what? I don't need to see it reseeded. I was off my feet in my house during when Stanton made a run back at him, when he had the timeout and then came back and he hit the three or four home runs in a row. And it's like, is he going to actually catch this guy when it looked like he had no chance? And then everything Aaron Judge was doing. I mean, are you serious with that guy? He was missing the ball and hitting it out to right field.
He was hitting it out to right in like the second deck.
It was unbelievable. He would take those swings that look like they should be a pop fly to second base and they're going out of the park. His power is just absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous
and
stuff.
All natural, baby. All natural. You know it is. Homegrown, all natural.
Well,
talent.
It helps when the baseballs look like they're basically golf balls.
Oh, the ones that
I wouldn't doubt the last night they're juiced.
The bonus 30-second ball, the pink ones, yeah. They sounded like they were hard as a rock.
Yeah.
When they're going. Did you see Joel Embiid caught two home runs? What the hell is Joel Embiid doing at Home Run Derby, A, first of all, and not tearing an ACL in the process, and B, sitting out in the outfield like the plebes, man. He's just out there like the regular Joes, and then he catches two of them. He must have been sitting 500 feet from home plate.
Well, he probably has the reach advantage.
I guess he does have the reach advantage. Tyler Devitt.
I would assume he does.
On a connection for football and Aaron Judge, did you know that he was offered by Notre Dame, UCLA, and Stanford to play tight end?
Were you recruited by Notre Dame, Tony?
No.
Aaron Judge was. Okay.
Stanton was USC.
Was he now?
Yeah. And by the way, even with those offers, they clearly both made the correct decision.
Yeah. So did, what's his face? The Cubs reliever. Who am I thinking of from Notre Dame?
Jeff Samardzija.
Samardzija. Yeah. The alphabet
soup. I mean,
name. He's
like how much millions he's making. He sucks.
He's been good at times, but he has made way more as a relief pitcher than he ever would have as a wide receiver in the National
Football
League.
And that's what, like, the last couple weeks here with the NBA free agency and stuff. Yeah, you know, I've got some questions. Well, why can't they have a salary structure?
Hot roast is upset.
You talk about an apple and oranges thing. I mean, it's a 14-man roster versus a 53-man roster, and it is a blood sport versus a skill sport. So it's never, you know, these NFL players are saying, well, you know, we should get some bigger, more guaranteed money. Blame your union. You know, the Washington Post.
Oh, sure.
The Washington Post ran this story, and, you know, shocker. Sally's pro player that while Kirk Cousins, he could set the tone for the rest of the league. D. Smith set the tone for the league. He got his clock clean 5 years ago.
Right.
That's why, you know, and they're saying, well, first round picks, you know, don't have as much guaranteed money. the player, veteran players wanted the rookie salary scale, thinking that more of the cap would be for them. So the only way to get more guaranteed money for NFL players is to strike, which they will never do.
Right. Well, that's the question. If they strike, will they be willing to miss games, strike into the season again?
And which I don't think they would because of the rank and file.
Right. And Amy Trask said that, the former front office executive with the Raiders.
I think she invented the game.
Oh, okay. We found another one that Ryan doesn't like. Surprise, surprise. The hit list, the enemies list, you and a certain president of the United States apparently each keep one. Amy Trask is apparently on there. But regardless, she said that over the weekend that they know, owners know, that players know that their average career is 2 to 3 years. Are they going to take the risk of missing a third of their earning power? You know, the rank and file are not. The superstars may. But can you convince enough of the rank and file to go along with it?
And that was an issue during the last NBA thing, which was, I think, 2011, where, you know, guys like Kobe were saying, hey, we're gonna be firm. We're going to stand tall. You got guys at the bottom of the roster saying, I want my money.
Sure.
I want to play. Yeah. So that's, I mean, we got really sidetracked there. But, I mean, to compare baseball, basketball, to football in terms of guaranteed salaries – if you're playing football and you're bitching about guaranteed money, you picked the wrong sport.
Well, you know how it is in football, Tony. You have your Tom Brady's, your Julian Edelman's, and then your cast of dozens, you know, that go along with them. So that's kind of how it usually gets parsed out. Hey, today, Ryan O'Hallen, we're going to talk Jaguar football with the peeps out there. And I'm sure the text line, is, by the way, is just blowing up with, where's the football? Anyway, other than quarterback, which is always the number one concern, at least has been in recent vintage with the Jacksonville Jaguars, what are your three biggest areas of concern for the Jags? Could be coaching. It could be something specific on the defense. Could be an overall, you know, the run game. Could be whatever you want it to be, whatever bothers you or worries you the most as they head into training camp coming up here in just a couple of weeks. You realize that, Tony, first open practice will be 2 weeks from Thursday. So we'll see folks out there for that. I think is that when O'Halloran's talking to the sports club down in St. Augustine?
No, I just thought that might be 2 weeks from today.
It could be, for all I know. I don't know. It could be a week of Wednesdays coming up. I have no idea. But that's what we're doing today on social media. If you want to weigh in, give us your top three concerns other than the quarterback position for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And if the quarterback is not one of your top three concerns, let us know that as well. That would be interesting. We just assume that for most people who follow the Jags closely, Blake Bortles play is a concern, and how he will play is a concern for you heading into training camp and the regular season. With Fat Tony, with Ryan O'Halloran, with Tyler Devitt, we're just kicking off here.
And you can get on board. And a cast of dozens,
exactly. At MD_1010XL on Twitter, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Ryan O'Halloran. You can always hit us up with the tweets in those locations. Of course, the Jaguars Today Facebook page is open for business. You can call the program at 641-1010 or text us at the same number on the text line driven by Duval Ford. With Fat Tony and Ryan O'Halloran, I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today, Tuesday, brought to you by 904 Thin, where they guarantee you'll lose at least 20 pounds. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And Tuesdays, we're playing the dozens with Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union here with us today. You know what playing the dozens is? I think it's just like running smack on each other, you know, that kind of thing. There's a book, pretty good book, called Playing the Dozens a few years ago. I might be wrong about that, but I think Playing the Dozens is just kind of, you know, just talking BS to each other, that kind of thing. By the way, if you hear snoring in the studio today, coming through the microphones, my man Bill pulled the all-nighter driving from Virginia. He thinks it's a good idea to come in with me rather than sleep at the house for about 4 hours this morning, Tony, because we're playing golf at 1:30. Bill grew up in Florida, went to high school together, but it's been about a year since he's been in this 95 degrees with 8 billion percent humidity. So I think I'm going to melt him about the 11th hole today at the King and Bear. Looking forward to that. By the way, O'Halloran, you got a nice facepalm gif or jif, whatever way you want to go with that one, on Twitter today from Jarrell. How could you leave O'Halloran out of the promo? I don't write the promos. If I did write the promos, I would just repeat your name.
Jock sniffer.
What's that?
Probably some jock sniffer wrote it.
You think so? Yeah. Probably so, because Loggeman and Garrard got mentioned.
Yeah.
Surprising they weren't mentioned ahead of us. Surprising we were mentioned at all, today,
yeah.
Honestly.
Featuring.
And a cast of dozens. Featuring, yeah. Yes. If I did write the promo, I would just repeat your name over and over and over again, and then with 1 second left, 10-10XL. Nice.
Ryan O'Halloran, Ryan O'Halloran, 10-12, 10-10XL.
10-12, 10-12. It's like a montage.
Unpopular opinions.
Of that. Unpopular opinions. Fresh takes. Sizzling hot. Off the grill. By Ryan O'Halloran. Hit list. Enemies list. Who does he hate? Everyone.
I'll give you another. This came up during the break. Another guy who I think is just totally pathetic is Kirby Smart, the Georgia coach.
Yeah. Totally pathetic, Kirby Smart.
Doesn't bring his quarterback, Jacob Eason, to the media event and says he brought his running back, Nick Chubb, because he says as little as possible. He is such a loser.
Yeah, there's a theme here, Tony, with Ryan. He does not care about the outcome of Georgia football.
I don't
think he particularly cares about Jacob Eason, to be honest with you. He cares, though, when journalism with a big J is slighted. Okay.
Well, and also when I was trying to do that Nathan Peterman story, you know, I had some motives with that Peterman story. Yeah, I was trying to get some dirt.
Oh, yeah.
And I tried to talk to Jim Chaney, as coordinator now at Georgia. Nope. Not allowed to talk to the media.
Not happening.
You know, and I told the Georgia SID, I said, hey, you know, this is a hometown kid. That's the motive.
No dice.
F you.
Man, I said that. But that was the gist of the response that you got.
So when that team comes down here to play, the other team that comes here to play in October, I'll be rooting for the Gators.
Present company excluded, because Tony and I are your favorite guys, period, I'm sure. Who are the three people that make your job easiest at being a member of the media? They don't have to be Jaguar-related, but if they are, that's fine. Whether players or administrators or coaches or whatever.
Well, Gus Bradley going to be number one all time.
Gus was fantastic.
Dave Caldwell used to be. Now I'm trying to get him back out of his shell again.
Do you think he's under edict not to
I think it's
emerge?
Been strong suggestions / common sense.
Gotcha.
You know, when the locker room finally opens, which who knows when the hell that'll be, you know, a lot of good veteran players to lean on. So
your boy Cecil. Gave you a shot in the Miss arm
Cecil.
Last week.
Miss Cecil.
Man, wistfully, he had that look on his face
he was
when
like,
he said that.
He's the only guy who's bitched about not getting the ball since I got here.
Which makes for a nice headline.
Which is good.
No question. All right, let's go out to the
phone. Let's go positive.
641-1010, and DJ is checking in on the South Side. Tony, you running the show over there? I think you are.
It, yeah.
If you would be so kind. DJ, good morning to you. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, I don't know, did you guys hear the interview with the coach of SEC media? They're talking about Brandon Allen.
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah, because it was on this air.
So, okay, so it got me thinking that he says he's the if he gets his opportunity, he can really show. And I think when he's saying, I'm thinking like a quarterback like Jake Delhomme. I don't know if you remember the year that they went to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
And he sparked that team, because the defense was there. They had a running game, but he sparked. He was gutsy, gritty. And by Brandon Allen playing in the SEC, do you think, like, six weeks in, if Blake doesn't have it, that you could see him pulling for him?
Oh, sure. I mean, if it's by week 10, let's say, you know, they're 3-7. Maybe he doesn't make it to 3-7. But let's say they are, and they're ready to make a change, Ryan. If this season, to me, is a write-off, and at 3-7, it's a write-off, pretty much. I mean, they're never going to admit that. You could still win out, go 9-7. Maybe that keeps you viable until mid-December, something like that. I said last year, you can't save a season that's going nowhere by going to Chad Henne. Chad Henne's not going to be the quarterback in the future. I'm not saying Brandon Allen will be. But at least you have the optimism of the unknown that maybe he could be.
Yeah, a couple layers to this. And when Brett Bielema did talk to Hayes and Frank about that yesterday, it's what a former coach should do. Pump up his guy, said, hey, if he gets in there, he'll shock everybody. You know, I don't expect to hear anything different. But if Brandon Allen sees the field, it's probably because this season has fallen into a disaster.
Right.
And because we've had this discussion before, pretty much on air, is let's say this team is 3-2 and Blake Bortles turns an ankle. Probably Chad Henne.
Yeah, for Chad Henne for a few weeks. Sure.
If it's 3-7 and things aren't going well, this is not swapping out your left guard here. This has to be a top to bottom organizational decision if they decide to go that route, and it has to start with Tom Coughlin telling ownership, hey, it's over for this quarterback drafted third overall.
Right.
Let's see what Brandon Allen can do for the next six games so they can plot their course that way. But if Brandon Allen does see the field, it's probably because they're trying to look ahead to 18.
Here's what Brett Bielema, of course, coaching at Arkansas with Brandon Allen when he was there, had to say about the Jaguar backup quarterback.
Brandon Allen, as far as football IQ, all the ability that he takes, a coach's son, he's everything you want in that regard. And I guarantee you, if he gets on the field, he's going to shock some people. He's kind of one of those guys that you just kind of wait for that moment for him to get his shot, and he'll take full advantage of it. He was in my office on Friday, and I know he's very excited about the new way. I know there was still a lot of transition and sure. carryover, but there was a lot of things that he felt they needed to get done and move in the right direction, and seems to be very excited about the program.
I think he benefits from the fact that Hackett is back, so there's some rapport there. And also, he had to learn a lot of different offenses at Arkansas, which he credited for helping him pick up the Jaguar offense last year. Preseason is going to be interesting for Brandon, because here's the challenge the Jaguars face is Blake Bortles looks like a guy who needs a lot of snaps. You know, he feels like that's the way to get ready. Well, Chad Henne doesn't need a lot in theory, so Brandon Allen's going to be out there with threes and fours. Is that a proper evaluation? Probably not, but that's what he's got to do. He's going to have to make some chicken salad out of that.
Not that I think it's shocking, but it's interesting to me nonetheless to hear Brett Bielema talk about Brandon Allen and read between the lines when he tried to – he came out and talked about the change, and then he kind of backed off a little bit as to not throw anyone under the bus as Brett Bielema was talking yesterday. It was pretty evident that even as a rookie, Brandon Allen had an opinion that this is not the way it's supposed to be, right? Something needs to fundamentally be rooted out, and that he's excited about the change. The change is, obviously, it's not that Tom Coughlin really has an impact on Brandon Allen day to day. It's Doug Marrone and the rest of the coaching staff and what gets filtered down from Doug Marrone. And I think it just speaks volumes, Tony, that you've got a guy who's a sixth round rookie pick last year. You know, the classic be seen and not heard type guy.
Sure.
And he developed that opinion. Not hey, third stringer, just happy to be in the NFL, keep my head down, keep grinding. It's like, hey, this is not right. We got to get this thing changed. And when he's in the office with his former coach and he feels like at liberty to speak on that a little bit, it's obvious he had that conversation.
Yeah, he was finally in a spot where he could be seen and heard.
Right.
Like here, he's not supposed to do either, really, until he's called upon to do that kind of thing. But it is interesting that I think there were some players in the locker room who you could sense that from early on, and there were some players that I think it took a while. And it's an interesting dynamic in that Jaguars locker room in that there were a bunch of guys that didn't know any other way to do it in the NFL, so I don't know if they realized how bad it was, right? And I think when Doug Marrone took over, they said, whoa, wait, like this is different. This is a different way of handling business on a week-to-week basis. This feels more like, you know, a bunch of guys that were successful in college. It may have felt more like what they did to be successful in college all of a sudden at the NFL level, and maybe they thought it just was different in the NFL. It doesn't have to be. You know, that hard-nosed, you know, military style of stuff, like, that can work in the NFL. It has worked for a long time in the National Football League. The idea of, you know, just try to get better today and not focusing on the result.
Our whole focus was on just getting
right.
better.
Right. The not focusing on the outcome, focusing on the process. Like, these kind of things, those are relatively new in the NFL, and while they may be working in some spots, it clearly was a massive failure for the Jacksonville Jaguars to go that direction with it.
You had young players, a couple of them last year would come up to me in the locker room during the week and say, hey, you know, how is this going to play out? What's this going to mean for me? But because they could also see that, you know, there were some areas, I mean, obviously a lot of areas where they're struggling, but wonder if they get the sense from Doug Marrone now that there is the lines of communication a little bit more open. He's a little bit more direct on roles. We'll see. But, you know, there's a lot of guesses and a lot of directions you could go reading between Brett Bielema's line there.
All right. Before we take a time out here at the bottom of the hour, we will continue to welcome your calls at 641-1010. Checking in on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Some interesting Brandon Allen-related type questions about the quarterback depth chart, but a couple on Ryan O'Halloran.
What?
We'll start, yes. First one, Rhino's nickname should be Teardrop. Okay, I think that's because you just absolutely slay people whenever you know, you have an axe to grind, you don't hold back, and you flat out murder them on the radio. That's my guess, right? You get a teardrop tattoo for every Amy Trask that you bury on the public airwaves, that kind of thing.
Pretty cool text.
Okay, so there's that. Then we go from that. I figured we'd start with the good. O'Halloran calling somebody the worst. He has never listened to himself on radio. Hashtag the worst. Hashtag sucks. Three biggest concerns going into training camp. O'Halloran, Ryan O'Halloran, and the offensive line.
I like that text, too. Thanks for listening.
Right, thanks for listening.
That's all they're listening.
They're listening. They're reacting. And they only gave you 2 out of 3 in terms of biggest concerns.
Well, I agree with number 3 because it's going to be a mess.
You're going to get a teardrop for this guy, too, on you coming up. All right, 641-1010 on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Keep them coming in. We'll take a look at some of the ones talking about the quarterback depth chart and how it may shake out behind Blake Bortles coming into 2017. We'll do that next here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today Tuesday is brought to you by 904 Thin, where they guarantee you'll lose at least 20 pounds. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, on Twitter here, at Isom Phillips says a reliable source has informed him that Kirby Smart became, quote, visibly upset upon hearing O'Halloran's stinging criticism
good
this morning.
Good.
Fake news. I think that's fake news. I'm not sure that Kirby Smart doesn't know. Everyone knows. You just have to assume Ryan doesn't like you. He's coming for you at some point.
So he tells you he likes you.
Then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you really got to watch your back when he tells
They're very dishonest people.
Oh, Trumpster. That was pretty cool.
Oh, this is great. Delphonic wins the – Delphonic, got to get this guy a T-shirt, Tyler, if we could,
that's
please.
That's pretty good
You like
picture,
that?
Yeah.
At DJ Delphonic, just a quick little teardrop tattoo added to Ryan's official Florida Times Union profile picture. When is that picture from, by the way?
That's a TU studio picture.
From when?
A couple years ago.
Just a couple?
Yeah, well, I've only been here maybe.
Who of us uses the oldest profile picture on any platform out there? Like, I did a show with Brad Hopkins, former Titans lineman, this weekend.
He uses college football picture.
He uses his Tennessee Titans picture from early in his career, but then he is pretty good at graphics, and he tweeted out, made a graphic of my Facebook picture and his picture and, you know, the show and everything, and he tweeted out. I thought, oh, that's pretty good, and I started thinking, how old's that picture of me? That's at least 8 years old, I think, when I joined Facebook. Hacker, I believe, has the record.
Dirt. That's
Hacker's fine. Still using a picture from when he was 16, I think,
dirt. That's
on
fine.
Facebook.
High school graduation picture. Heidi loves it.
That was my junior year.
Mine's probably from about 10 years ago, but I only have it there because I like the sunglasses.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a very professional look.
Hey, speaking of serious, did you ever have Gil Brandt on last weekend?
We did have Gil Brandt on Sunday.
Well, you ask about anger?
Of course I asked him about anger. Kidding me? Gil, God bless you, brother.
What did he say?
You're not exactly pushing back against the crowd who thinks you may have lost your fastball here. I said, Brian Anger, as a top 5 all-time punter, I said, Gil, are you personally out to get me? Because I feel like people come for me because they know you come on with me on Sirius, and they demand answers as to why you make these ridiculous assertions about the Jaguars. First, you omit Fred Taylor on a list of great running backs where there are at least a half dozen guys that we'd easily take Freddie T over. And then he put Brian Anger in the top 5 all-time punters. He goes, Anger's a hell of a punter. You know, I don't do a good Gil Brandt. And I'm like, Gil, isn't it true? What was it, Tyler, you looked up yesterday or last week? Like the top 17 punters or something?
Yeah.
Net average all-time are current punters in the National Football League? Something ridiculous like that?
Yeah, it was like 17 out of 18.
So they're all good, Gil. Stop it. We didn't dwell on it. We didn't make a whole thing out of it. But I did mention it to him in the past.
You probably saw it was going nowhere.
What's that now?
Yeah, you probably saw that it was going to go nowhere. She just moved on to the next question.
The punter?
Yes. The anger thing.
Yes. It was worth mentioning because I feel like I need to take up the mantle for Jacksonville whenever I'm on
there. Yeah. Common sense.
Common sense.
One guy emailed me. He actually had a pretty good line. He goes, well, this means he was worth that third rounder.
No, he wasn't. Wasn't worth it enough to offer him a second contract. Let's go to the phone, 641-1010. Tom, down in the nation's oldest city in St. Augustine. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good. On Gus Bradley, no doubt he was a failure. But I don't think it's because he talked about the process and everything, because I'm an Alabama fan as well. And Nick Saban never, ever talks about winning. All he talks about is winning the play you're playing. Win that play. And if you win enough of them, it'll come out to winning. But he has a process and it works. Bill Belichick has a process and it works. Now, the way Gus explained it and talked it and everything, and we're losing, it makes no sense. But if you've got that same plan and you're winning, you're great. But we hang on. The bottom line was he and his coaching staff either were not good enough or the players they had weren't good enough. It wasn't because, you know, every coach out there, if you go out and watch this team practice, they're going to try to get better on every snap they play. That's the only way you get to play winning football, is to work on this snap. If not, then hell, don't practice. Just go out there and let's talk about winning.
All right, Tom. I get your point. And to a certain degree, you're correct. But when you're Nick Saban and you do get to recruit from the elite, 3% of athletes in this country, when you're Bill Belichick and you've gotten to a point, A, where you arguably have the greatest quarterback of all time, which makes you a favorite to win most of the games you line up in, no matter who else you have on the roster. But because of that circumstance, you've got a situation where free agents will go there for less money. Guys will re-sign with New England for less money. You've got a tremendous system in place. Yeah, you're right. Coaches across the board focus on handle your business in front of you. This play is the only thing you can control. I just think, guys, Gus took it to an absurd kind of new age feel, almost to the point like we can't even mention the word win. It was just kind of this touchy feely thing. It's going to transform. You know, you don't think about the end result. I guarantee you the players at Alabama think about winning. I'm sure they talk about winning more than they let on. I don't think they necessarily say, hey, we're going to go 12-0. They talk about that week's opponent and everything they have to do to beat them. What do you make of that, Ryan? Is it a fair rebuke to the criticism against Gus?
I mean, I'll go halfway with Tom on that one. Is, you know, publicly, you know, he said these things and it was a juice boxes and orange slices type of statement. But behind the scenes, players say, hey, you know, he was demanding as other head coaches they played for at college and the NFL too. Problem is they didn't have enough good players. They didn't draft well enough. They didn't sign enough good free agents. And if the quarterback would have played well and taken the next step last year, he'd still be the head coach here. So, I mean, you can talk about culture, which I think is, for a pro football team, is overrated, because you need good people. You need good players. They think they have better players this year. You know, did Gus become a better – I think he became a better head coach over his 4 years, but they couldn't even come close to turning that corner for a variety of reasons, and that's why the change was made. And he knew that. He knew that at this time last year that, hey – you know, for all talk about getting better every day, that didn't result in 500. There's going to be a change.
Right. Amish Jaguar said that guy just compared Nick Saban to Gus Bradley. Shoot that guy into the moon. Look, you could compare, if you say, here's something that Gus Bradley does that Bill Belichick does, that if it's true, it's fair. There's nothing wrong with that. There are things that all coaches do, successful and unsuccessful coaches. So to that degree, yeah, granted, Nick Saban does talk about, let's focus on the steps to get us to win football games.
Well, and I think if you're going to compare them, was there the level of accountability with the Jacksonville Jaguars that there is from Nick Saban with that Alabama football team? I mean, did that exist? Like, it didn't appear to exist.
No, it didn't appear to exist, Tony, but it's a lot easier, I think, to have that level of accountability when you've got a five-star backing up
a
five-star.
Well, let's not even say Alabama. New England? Like, there are places, and I get New England has a better roster than Jacksonville.
I hear what
but
you're saying.
At some point, you still have to let everybody in that locker room know there are no sacred cows on a team that's winning three games. You know, like, there has to be some level of, look, we can't send Dante Fowler out there on a third and three because he's going to jump offside because he just will. Like, and there were times last year where a handful of times where I was like, get Dante off the field. I was like, you got to get him off the field. He's going to jump offside on this play. That's what he's going to do. And he did. And you're watching it going, I mean, come on. I get it that it's his job not to do it, but you know he's going to do it. You have to get him out of the situation because you know he's going to burn you in that kind of situation until he doesn't.
I want to get into some of those texts on Brandon Allen, which we will. Did you have anything else to say on that, O'Halloran?
Looked
like I might have cut you off. No?
Well.
Or another teardrop.
No. It's, like Tony said, you got a five-star. You have 75-man roster for road games in college football.
Right.
You can, you know, Tony jumps off sides, you're out of the game.
No doubt.
Right. I'll put you back in. So
you probably have three guys who were stars at their position in high school back them up.
But I think it on paper, it appears this team has a little bit more depth at certain spots. So that can breed some more accountability to say, hey, Dante, if you jump off sides again, you're coming out, and Lorente McCray's going in for that one.
Right.
Will that serve as a wake-up call? Jalen Ramsey went through that last year where he got kicked out of the game, or saying, is this going to be a season-long problem? Definite conversations behind the scenes. He got it taken care of after that Thursday night game.
Right. Before we go to the text line, somebody – weighing in on, we asked about whose profile pictures are maybe not as reflective of their current state physically. Stoff nominated DeRocco because his ESPN profile picture actually has hair on it. So D-Rock seemed to agree with that as he liked that reply. So we'll go with that for now. Let's see a couple here on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Any chance Allen gets second team reps in the preseason over Henny?
I think so.
Why wouldn't you?
I mean, right? Yeah, I mean, let's just, he's going to play that whole fourth game regardless. But you know, I wouldn't rule out that second job being up for, you know, a competition if Brandon comes out and plays well. You got to put him in position to play well with putting him with more established players. So, you know, I could see that those first two games.
Is there any percent chance you think that they carry two and Allen's the backup? Because I don't think that's very likely in a season where they put so much emphasis on trying to win. Right now, immediately every week, I don't know if they put themselves in a position where if Blake, even if they started well and they're 3-0 and Blake gets hurt for a month, do you want to put that in the hands of a guy who's never taken a snap?
I would agree with that. That I think they'll carry three. Then that's okay. If that's established, then your next question is okay.
Who's active on game day?
Who's that? And which leads to the thing? Okay, how about if it's a 1 week thing and Blake has never shown it. I mean, the biggest positive for Blake Bortles is his durability. He's missed one snap. So I think ultimately it's going to be Chad Henne as your number two on game day, unless he just really forgets how to throw it.
All right, another texter, different texter. So is Allen not better than Henne? He's played more recently and at a higher level when he did. Well, he played more recently in college, and he may have played well in college. It's apples. Apples to oranges now.
Yeah, I mean,
now. You
look at Chad, you know, if you compare the college resumes of Chad Henne and Brandon Allen,
right.
It's no comparison.
Right, Chad Henne had a ridiculously good college resume.
Yeah, so that one doesn't fly for me.
I'm with you on that one. We don't know. I think the answer is, if Allen's better than Henne. They may have an inkling. The coaching staff should have an inkling because they're the ones who got to see him. But really, most of his work was done behind closed doors away from our prying eyes last year.
And really, if you're Scott Milinovich and Nate Hackett, you know, your concern right now is you got to get number five going.
Right.
You know, you're not worried about
what happens if we need to save the season.
Yeah.
Kind of, at least you're not at this moment. Ron in Gainesville next up at 641-1010. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
How you doing, fellas?
Good.
What's up, man?
That's great. My three concerns for the year right now are as in probably this order: offensive line, defensive back depth, and linebacker depth. Besides our front three guys at linebacker, we really have a bunch of guys that are unproven and not really starters in the league. And the same goes pretty much for our defensive back depth. As far as our offensive line is concerned, I worry about them due to, you know, Blake's play last year. They did rank 15th in the league last year, by the end of the season with only 34 sacks given up. But it's just something about that line that just worries me just a little bit. I want to know what you guys thought about their end-of-the-year ranking and where do you think they can improve. My top five linemen right now are Brandon Albert, Cam Robinson. I would put Luke Bowenko back at center and make Linder and Parnell as my guard and tackle on the right side.
Well, I agree with two of the three. Offensive line would be a concern that I would list because you don't know what it's going to look like. And the deeper you get into the summer and there's more, that's what creates concern is unknown. At linebacker, I actually think they have okay depth there. You know, Audie Cole's played a little bit. Josh McNary's played a little bit.
And how many teams in the National Football League can you say, okay, here are the backup linebackers. Well, this guy's started for 3 years somewhere. This guy, I think that's probably pretty rare.
In a league where you really play two most of the time.
Right, on nickel situations and for a 4-3 defense.
If Miles Jack gets nicked up at middle linebacker, you'll put Zlesny back.
Sure.
So I agree with defensive back depth because you don't know how many of those guys are going to be healthy enough to practice. And if they're on PUP, how much are they going to practice? How much time will they get? This corner depth after the top three, we talked a little bit about it last week with Josh Johnson and Jalen Myrick, who emerges there. And also at safety, you have inexperience behind Barry Church, and then Peyton Thompson, you feel you're okay at backup free safety, but how that defensive back depth chart plays out will be something to watch.
I don't know. Maybe I've got my head in the sand on that one a little bit. I don't worry too much about the defensive back depth, presuming they're healthy to start the year. Now, it's a concern now because you have had a lot of guys banged up throughout OTAs. But if they're healthy to start the season, look, it's never going to be good if one of your top two cornerbacks misses time. But I feel like, again, I don't know if Josh Johnson will make the roster, but he flashed that playmaking ability. I think he'd be serviceable, or Peyton Thompson, in a pinch, in a short-term type scenario, as long as you had one of Ramsey or Boye out there. And, you know, at safety, I don't think they've gotten much in the way of playmaking out of that position anyway. So if you're not coming in and being a major liability and giving up big plays, right now there's not a high level for it to drop off from, I guess, is how I'd look at it. So I'm not as concerned about the overall depth in the secondary as I guess Ron and Ryan are, Tony.
I think it's interesting. Like, I would be more concerned about cornerback depth than I am, say, linebacker, just because you use more. Right, like I just said, you usually play two linebackers, generally speaking. You'll sometimes have three linebackers on the field, but in the NFL, you're playing three and four corners a lot, right? So if you have one injury to your third corner even, that's really significant in this league if you're losing one of those guys because they play so much of the time. So from that perspective, yeah, but there's not going to be a whole lot of teams that are like, we feel really good down to our fifth corner. Like, that's just not a reality in the National Football League.
Real quick, and that's how they spin the offensive line thing. They always say, well, there aren't any teams that have five quality offensive linemen. I get that. How about three?
Right. This one on the text line as we head into the break. Why is Henny even on the roster? Can we cut bait with that mediocre bum and let Allen prove it or get a viable backup? We have to get away from below average. Look, if they were above average, it wouldn't be backups in the NFL. They're just, that's the
stick. He's not a below average backup.
And not a backup, right. He may be a below average NFL quarterback, but if you think that, go around, if you think that in the National Football League, Chad Henne isn't better than about 20 of the backups out there, or at least on par with that many, then you're fooling yourself. The state of quarterback play in the National Football League is not that good at the top, or certainly on the bench coming off. So I don't think you just cut him loose and find out then. Now, if Allen emerges to be a force and you're like, wow, we got this guy, then maybe you make a move.
Sure.
But it's not because we're going to just cut Henny and hope and keep our fingers crossed that Brandon Allen develops this year as a sixth-round pick in year two into at least worthy of being in the number two position.
Yeah, and we've said it before, but that feels like that's the reason Allen was drafted. Right, like Allen was drafted to eventually be the backup to Blake Bortles.
Right.
It was so that eventually we wouldn't need a Chad Henne on the roster anymore, and then you'd hit that cycle where we have a franchise quarterback, and let's just keep drafting a guy every couple years that we feel like can fill that backup role. Well, that plan has been thrown into some turmoil because Blake Bortles may or may not be the franchise at this point. He's got the fifth-year option kind of hanging over his head, so the team can make him kind of that quarterback going if he takes that step forward in 2017. But right now, They don't have a franchise quarterback. They might, but they don't.
Coming up, the state in football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. Ryan O'Halloran guesses birthdays and hands out teardrop tattoos for you right here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
You know, as an aside, I hear if Jeter does buy the Marlins, it's gift baskets for everybody in South Florida. So,
well, hopefully he's increased his stock, because previously he wanted to buy 10% and have full control.
Yeah, full control at 10%. look, he's got Hannah. Hannah Jeter. He's won. He's won life already, as far as I'm concerned. O'Halloran, can you win the birthday game today? Is the big question. It's time for this date in football, and it's 7-Eleven Day, free Slurpee Day, by the way, at I can't remember the area convenience store that's giving them away today, Tony, on July the 11th. Handyway? No? I don't know. Probably not. Probably not them. All right, let's go with, let's start with this one, O'Halloran. I am a four-time Pro Bowl offensive lineman out of Auburn, three-time first-team All-Pro, playing primarily for the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm Willie Anderson, and how old am I today?
I wouldn't have guessed the name right. Willie Anderson, 46.
42 years young for Willie Anderson. That's a big swing and a miss. This one should be more in your wheelhouse. Seven-time Pro Bowl wide receiver. Boy, we talk about Allen Robinson with the 1,400-yard season. Very impressive, right? How about four seasons of 1,400 or more yards? Three of those 1,500 or more yards. Seven seasons overall over 1,000. Five 100-catch seasons. I'm talking about Andre Johnson, division nemesis for a long time of your Jacksonville Jaguars. The retired Andre Johnson is how old today?
37.
He's 36 years old. You're within one. You're good on that one. Let's see. How about I am a guy who once played against myself in a fantasy football league and scored three touchdowns that week. It was the only three-touchdown game of my career. I play for a team that Ryan O'Halloran used to cover very closely. I'm Chris Cooley, formerly of the Washington Redskins, two-time Pro Bowl tight end. How old's Chris Cooley?
38.
35 years young today's youngster. I know, right? All right, let's go old school on this one. I am the majority owner of the Carolina Panthers, Jerry Richardson. That's how most people know me. But little known fact, I played for the Baltimore Colts in 1959 and 1960 as a fullback slash halfback, winning a championship ring with the Colts. It was a brief NFL career. I've been the only majority owner in the history of the Panthers, and I'm celebrating a birthday today. What birthday am I celebrating?
85.
81 years young for Jerry Richardson. How about this one? This one, if you don't get this one, we may have to call it off at this point. I could have been a Jaguar, but I wasn't there for them to select me. I was the 2016 Defensive Rookie of the Year despite holding out into training camp. I'm Joey Bosa of the L.A. Chargers.
How old am I? 23.
He's 22 years young today.
Two.
He's a pup is what he is. And finally, no, I got two more. I am one of the first NFL players post-career to come out as gay. I was admitted that I was a homosexual player during my playing career. I played here in Jacksonville for part of it. Esra Tuaola was infamous when he came out after his playing career. May have been the first National Football League guy to do so. How old is he today?
43.
He is 49 years old. And then finally, I'm a six-time Pro Bowl cornerback for the Arizona Cardinals, Patrick Peterson out of LSU, three-time first-team All-Pro. How young am I, despite the fact that I've been to six Pro Bowls already?
29.
He is 27 years old.
Holy
cow.
27
for Patrick Peterson. That was pretty eye-opening. You did quite horribly today.
Horrible.
Just horribly today. You got Bosa within a year. That's only because he's been in the league
Andre
for one
Johnson.
Year. That's true. You did get Andre Johnson within a year or a couple of years, whatever it was. But for the most part, you were a sad state of affairs right there. Patrick Peterson, six Pro Bowls. He made his sixth at the age of 26 years old. That's ridiculous. Even if you're getting a little bit of extra boost on reputation, as you usually do after you make the first two or three early in your career, that's pretty damn impressive. 6-3, three first-team All-Pro appearances. And collectively, that is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The Kansas City Chiefs have stayed in-house to name their new general manager, going with Brett Veach, who has been working with the team as the co-director of player personnel. The statement from the team, Brett has a sharp football mind, a tremendous work ethic, and a keen eye for finding talent over the last four seasons. He's played a critical role in building our football team. I look forward to working with him to continue to build on the strong foundation we have in place, said Chiefs Chairman and CEO Clark Hunt. Buffalo Bills defensive lineman Adolphus Washington was arrested on Sunday at a water park in Ohio for improperly carrying a concealed firearm. Washington reportedly reached for and displayed a gun while sitting inside his vehicle. The Bills released a statement last night that reads, "We are aware of the incident regarding Adolphus Washington and have been in contact with him. Since it is a pending legal matter, we will have no further comment."
That's like the worst statement of all time. I'd rather you just say, "We heard it happened."
Okay. Are they essentially saying that we're aware of?
Like, it's like, reports. Use some better language than that, because it just is so, you know.
But that's the language that's been parsed by the lawyers, yeah. I have a feeling.
Adolphus Washington, if I'm not mistaken, pre-draft, got pinched for solicitation.
Is that right?
I think so.
I'll take your word for it. Do you need a gun at the water park? That's a pretty rough water park. I mean,
apparently it was outside. I mean, it was while he was still in his car.
These lines are too long.
I gotcha. Right. Use the fast pass, Adolphus. Look, you get the right to bear arms. Just do it responsibly, right? Don't flash it in front of the cops at the inappropriate time.
Apparently, yes.
I would think. All right, there you go. 641-1010. That's your Honda Drive Around the NFL. If you want to get in, that's phone number for the text line as well as the phone lines. Text line driven by Duval Ford on there. My three biggest concerns for the Jags going into training camp, the offensive line, the safeties, and the overall health of the team. We have struggled to keep players healthy. More so than other offseason. I mean, anything atypical to you in the amount of injuries that we've seen this offseason?
No, the only thing that's atypical, they're pretty centralized to one position group.
Right. Fluky? That's
yeah, and
the case.
Also, you don't usually witness what happened, but these guys didn't even start the OTAs. You know, Church, Colvin, Gibson, Yeldon. So, and then they've declined to give a timetable, which to me is they don't think they're going to be ready for the start of camp, or else you'd say, they're going to be ready to go. We're excited to see it. Their rehab is on schedule. So in terms of the injury stuff, I don't think it's an epidemic at all, but it's something to monitor because they're all starters except for Yeldon.
Right. Well, and when you get hit with one position group, like they've been hit in the past with offensive line injuries, I mean, it just seems to go that way sometimes on certain teams. And, you don't have that kind of depth at any position group typically to withstand a wave of injuries. Three questions other than those about Bortles. LOL. Number one, can the receivers catch catchable passes? How much concern? Because certainly the drop in numbers from Allen Robinson wasn't all on Blake last year. There's a large element to it, but he and Hearns, I mean, these guys dropped too many catchable balls last year.
I guess. I mean, Hearns' numbers probably would have been they would have been better if he hadn't gotten hurt. But, Robinson faced some different things, and they just didn't hit a lot. They didn't hit hardly as many deep shots.
Yeah, no question.
So that impacts touchdowns per catch, total yards. So, do you see a return to that commitment of, hey, half of these are 60% of these may be incompletions, but you got to take some shots downfield. So, and then with Allen Robinson, it was the emergence a little bit of Marquise Lee, and as long as Julius Thomas was healthy last year, they felt they had to justify that.
Number two on this particular list, can the defense stop opposing teams from scoring if the offense doesn't constantly give up field position? In other words, how do we know how good they really are and how good they'll be? If you have a normal offense that isn't throwing pick sixes or picks deep in their own territory at the rate that the Jags have.
Well, and then also that's true, but also the defense admits this offseason they have to create some of those themselves. And that's, for a defense to get from, okay, you have flashy stats to really becoming very good, you have to create some of those points, give your offense a short field where they can't screw it up. So, throughout the last couple of years, you see the defense give up three third down conversions. They get into the red zone. They give up 3 points. Well, you had a chance to stop them in
three
their
times,
own territory.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So it's all. I mean, you can only. I think this defense has a long way to go before they become elite.
One more here on that. Does the play calling work if coaches can count on pass plays being successfully executed? I don't know if he means if you can count on being successfully executed. Of course, the play calling is going to work. I think maybe he means if they can't count on them being successfully
executed. Well, they won't call him that. I mean, if your quarterback is showing he can throw the entire route tree and operate your entire system, that gives Nate Hackett a ton more options because he knows it's going to result in a big gain. Same with the run game. If this offensive line can show they can block it all and they can get in some kind of rhythm, you're going to call Leonard Fournette's number more often.
All right, we'll take a timeout here, come back. 641-1010 on the phone lines and the text line, driven by Duval Ford as well. Ryan O'Halloran's in studio, and he's drawing a lot of positive and negative comments.
In a cask of dozens.
There he is.
Negative?
Well, no, I mean, I hope Ryan's okay. I feel sorry for him. He seems pissed off every day. Somebody pat him on the back. I don't think that's in the positive category. I don't know. Maybe that's a neutral. Maybe
that's neutral.
A matter-of-fact statement.
Because you can tell that they sort of care about
They me. Do care, right. Somebody needs to give him a pat and, you know, maybe a juice box. I'm not sure what combination.
Take one of those.
Oh, of course you would. All right. We'll come back, talk more Jags here with you if you want to get in. You know the ways to do it. The social media question of the day presented by the Tom Bush family of dealerships asking you, other than the quarterback position, what are your three major concerns heading into training camp for the Jacksonville Jaguars? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with the Jaguars today, live at 1010XL World Headquarters on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for my friends at Harry's Razors. Best shave in the business? Absolutely. Look, you want the best product, right, to get the job done. But at the same time, you want to be economical, and maybe you're not going to pay top dollar if that's what it costs you. Well, the good thing with Harry's, you don't have to pay top dollar, and you get the top quality product out there. And because they deliver them factory direct to your front door, they cut out the middleman. That's how they're able to save you so much money on the razors that they send, and they're absolutely fantastic. In fact, Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades as much as I do. They're going to offer you their set for free if you cover shipping. A free trial set includes an ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision-engineered blades that come with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover. In fact, I partner with Harry's to bring you this incredible free offer. If you head to harrys.com/Mike, you can get it right now. Get your free trial set, including a handle, blade, shave gel, and travel blade cover by going to harrys.com/Mike. That's harrys.com/Mike. Don't wait. Get started shaving better with Harry's today.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All heard the term, the phrase, first world problems, right? The kind
sure.
of problems you have that, you know, a lot of people would go, come on, that's not a problem. I got real problems, all right? Bert on Twitter, three biggest concerns for the Jags heading into training camp other than Blake Bortles. One, make sure the chlorine level is right in the pools. Two, the 1 p.m. kick is making my beer boil. He apparently not happy with the afternoon kicks. That's home field advantage.
Bring a koozie, that. Buddy.
Right. Your beer, which you're probably consuming in the parking lot, I'm guessing because they don't allow you to bring that in, should be on ice, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's a simple one. Your beer will not boil if it's on ice. And three, they change boiled peanut vendors. Well, that could be a concern now. If you're partial to a particular boiled peanut vendor, I guess, a win or two would be a bonus, says Bert. So he's really not.
Priorities.
He's not expected much. So if I'm going to show up and I'm kind of feeling like I'm going to be disappointed, I better have cold beer, boil peanuts that taste right, and get that chlorine level right in the pool, by the way. Let's go to Chris on the north side, next up at 641-1010, asking you, other than Bortles, what are your big concerns heading into training camp? But whatever Jaguar-related you want to get into is fine. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a quick question for you. At the end of last season, on one of the local news channels, one of the commentators came on and said that it was confirmed Blake had a separated second or third degree shoulder, and I've never heard a word about it since, and I was just wondering if you guys could comment on that. Was that fake news?
No, it was not. Blake, to my understanding, did play with a shoulder injury. The exact degree of that injury, Ryan, to me, is a bit of a mystery. I don't know if it was, in fact, separated or not. I don't know the specific. I'm not denying Chris's recounting of what he heard. I don't remember the specific story that said maybe separated, but I do know that was one of the things that had been brought up at the end of the season.
Yeah, and he heard it in the Detroit game when it was, and he missed that one play at the end of the first half. But from then on, he wasn't impacting his practice. And the reason it didn't come up because is there was no surgery. I asked him that last week of the season, hey, is this going to impact your offseason throwing at all? He said no. So
kind of that time of year, I guess, later in the season where guys are banged up. I don't think anybody's 100% healthy. It'd be perfect to, you know, stand up here and say that, but I don't think a lot of guys are, you know, so I'm a lot, you know, more fortunate than a lot of guys on the team. And it's kind of part of it. You know, it's not anything that I don't think will keep me from playing. You know, it's just an injury, I guess.
What week was the Detroit game last year? Recall?
Week of maybe 11, 10 or 11.
Okay, yeah. November 20th, Tyler. So it's fairly late in the season.
Yeah.
Was there anything that you've heard that indicated that he may have had a shoulder issue that predated that?
No, because, I don't remember anything like that. Because he didn't come out of the game. He wasn't on the injury report.
Right.
So there wasn't – he was always practicing, so.
Because NFL teams always report the injury report with 100% deadly accuracy. Yeah.
Well, when he's not practicing –
granted, when he's not practicing, you have to put him on there. No question about it. Right, and that's the thing with the injury report that teams use to justify not listing an injury if they feel there's not any chance that he's going to miss time and it didn't impact his practice time. That's how teams look at it. You find out after the fact, though, so-and-so may have had whatever. Yeah, but it didn't cause him to miss any practice, and we always knew he was going to play, and that is the letter of the law express purpose of the injury report.
I mean, last year is such a blur at this point, but there was a game before Detroit that he sort of landed on it wrong and sort of came up and it was sort of limp. I can't remember what game that was. And then Detroit game, he took another shot on it because he was scrambling. And that's when you could see, you know, you thought maybe it was just a funny bone and went dead for a minute, but obviously it was some other issue. But it's been a non-story for me this offseason.
Gotcha. All right. We'll keep an eye on that. You know, Tony, we've never questioned. I don't think most of us in the media have. I can't recall anybody. Nobody questions Blake's toughness.
No.
Right. But I think that one almost is a question of, well, is that something that could mitigate his performance? Well, if it only happened in week 11, then the answer is no, because his performance was not up to where it needed to be well before that. If there was something else and then he exacerbated it against Detroit, that'd be a different story. At least according to the official party line, that's not the case. So, you know, something further comes to light, it'll be a discussion point.
Yeah, and it's obviously not been something that's been talked about a whole lot during this offseason either. Blake. So I would assume it's not an issue going forward. If you're trying to come up with the reasons for him not playing as well as you thought he would in 2016, it appears the injury happened late enough that that's not what you can blame it on.
Correct.
He was bad before the shoulder got hurt last year.
Right. I was going to say, and you properly threw me into the boards as I try to move up past you on roller derby right there. Tony's like, the hell with this, Dempsey. You're catching an elbow. And I'm going to make my point is the tutu photo, right, from last week. He looked like he was in great shape, all kidding aside, right? He looked like he was, you know, didn't look like he was heavy, anything like that. No. Looks like he's been getting his work in. So, you know, hopefully physical ability will not be any excuse or hindrance to him. He hits the ground running completely healthy for training camp. That's all you can ask for right now. Speaking of training camp, your three concerns other than Blake Bortles and the quarterback position. Let's go to Bailey and Callahan next up on Jaguars today. Good morning, Bailey.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going good. Well, man. Good. What's up?
Not much, man. I was just saying, other than Blake, one, the music. I'm a younger guy. One, the music. You just got changed. I like classics, man, but it got to pump it up a little bit. The beer, man, beer prices got to go down a little bit. I mean, I don't know if we can change that. And the last one's not really a concern, but more of a public announcement. Last year, man, it did the whole, you have to have your ID turned sideways now to buy a beer. So if you just turned 21, everybody needs to watch out for that.
What is it now?
You have to have a sideways ID to get a beer. If you just turned 21 and you don't have your ID sideways, you're screwed.
So
they won't let you buy it.
If you're under 21, they have a different format on your driver's license right now. Is that what?
Yeah, your driver's license is vertical.
Vertical, okay.
If you're 21,
right? Even if you just turned 21, okay. Well,
right.
I guess they would say plan ahead, maybe Bailey, right? And if you know you got a birthday coming up, circle that one on the calendar. So hopefully that won't impact too many people.
Also, for the Blake Bortles thing, I mean, don't get me wrong, practice helps and everything, but I'm a collegiate baseball player, and superstition is a big thing for me. And I think he needs to go back to that blonde girl he had down in O-Town, man.
Hey, I don't know. You know what? I'm not going to delve into his personal life. You may be right. You never. Sometimes, you know, it's like, what, Corey Pavin won the U.S. Open. Tony switched clubs, right?
He did.
I don't know if that's a perfect equivalency, but you get the idea, right? I'm just saying.
I guess technically Blake switched clubs and he needs to go back. Is that the...
Blake's love life is his business, whoever he, you know, wants to date.
I can't have a newcomer come in and...
This caller's not going to be on the best of list.
Bailey, I like that. It's not a bad call whatsoever. That's his.
He just wants to help the quarterback.
He's trying to help the cause. He wants to get him some reasonably priced beer. You know, and I think probably a lot of people would agree with you, Bailey, on that point. So there you go. I thought that was a strong call. Don't be upset by Teardrop O'Halloran over there. He'll be coming for you later out in Callahan. Watch your back.
Where is that?
Where is Callahan, Tony?
I'm really not sure. I think it's south, but I'm not sure.
Is it south?
Yeah.
Is it south and west?
I don't know. Is it out next to Orange Park? Is that where Callahan is?
That would be west, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
I would think, because south, to me, I drive south every day. I don't pass Callahan on my way to St. Augustine, so I'm going west would be my primary direction.
Yeah, it's probably out there.
Northwest side.
Northwest.
Northwest.
See, at least I went with the west. Would Hacker have known that?
Dirt.
Maybe.
I know every inch of this town. This is my home.
Friends out on the west side.
I a lot of callers are Hacker after dark.
I'm
a directionally challenged person. I always have been. Like, it was my least, like, geography means less than nothing to me. I couldn't possibly care less about
geography. Bailey's like, y'all a bunch of idiots. All right. Yeah. Callahan's been here forever. How do you not know where it is?
If I need to drive to Callahan, I'd look up directions to get to Callahan.
I'd pop in that GPS, baby.
I would still not have any idea what direction I'm going. I would just know this is where I need to drive to get there.
Caller says 20 minutes or 20 miles west of Fernandina.
There you go.
Well, whatever that
now
means.
Now I have to ask the next question. Where is Fernandina?
Right.
Really?
Where is that?
Fernandina Beach?
Is that north?
North of where we are right this moment. I think. Well, put it this way. Fernandina's north of Jack's Beach, right? Okay. Isn't that how it goes, right?
I haven't been north of the airport since I moved here.
Okay, but this is not north of the airport we're talking about now.
But
this
I haven't been north of Atlantic either. Atlantic.
You're just kind of locked into your little zone of comfort?
Yeah.
That's fine. We all get that way. I don't drive north of the airport for any reason. I guess I do if I'm going on vacation out of state or something like that, because once you get north of the airport, you're just about out of state. That's about it. I don't know.
You're getting close.
I don't know what to tell you. We are some geographically challenged folk here in the 1010XL world headquarters. But fortunately, for all of you out there, there's only one radio segment for me personally until my vacation kicks in. That's right. I just came back from one a week and a half ago. I wouldn't call it 3 days off a vacation, Tony. I'd take it more as just a long golf weekend is all it is, really. So that's what's coming up. The question of the day recap brought to you by our friends at the Tom Bush family of dealerships. They want to know, we want to know, what are the three major concerns for you other than the quarterback position for the Jacksonville Jaguars heading into training camp 2017? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL. Hey, folks, the best-kept secret for low prices on tires is no longer such a secret. I'm talking about TireOutlet.com. I use it myself. I talk about it all the time, how easy it is to use because you get wholesale pricing and premium service. What does that mean? Well, clean store locations. They offer coffee and Wi-Fi internet while you wait for tires to be put on your car. Friendly and a highly trained staff. They're not pushy. They want to get you back safely on the road because they want repeat business. They treat you right the first time. TireOutlet.com, the stop you need to make. Don't make tire buying a hassle. TireOutlet.com. That's the name to know.
This is Malik Jackson, and you're listening to the only weekday show dedicated to your Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, Fernandina is just north of the airport, you idiots. LMAO, laughing my arse off, just kidding.
Oh, yeah, the text line is alive.
The text line is great. West of the airport, I assume that refers to Callahan. Let's see. Wow, Jaguars Today doesn't represent anything but the South Side in St. Augustine. No, that's where I happen to live.
Like, I know I live in Bartram. I like, what direction it is from where I'm at right now, I have no idea.
Right.
None. Don't care. It's not the Pioneer days. I don't need to know the cardinal direction of where I'm going to live.
You just put it in the GPS. Y'all need to turn in your man cards on your way out of the studio because we don't know our directions. Maybe that's what they feel. I don't know.
Maybe
that's the case. I don't care. I'm with
Look,
you.
I
need to go somewhere, I check it on GPS.
I'm one of these guys that, like, I have long admitted that I watch a bunch of zombie stuff. Like, if the zombie apocalypse actually happened, I'd be dead so quick. Like,
would you?
Oh, I'd... Bye-bye.
You would not have learned...
No, it's like, no, I'd be gone, and I'm okay with that idea. It's like, I know I'm just a soft-bellied first-world problems guy. Like, I know that about myself. I have no issue with it. Like,
the mere fact that you're postulating on the possibility of the zombie apocalypse would probably cause someone to tell you to turn in your man card as well. Again,
don't
okay,
care.
Whatever. You know,
doesn't
I don't need a
me.
Card. I don't need a card to prove it.
I live in Bartram.
Jarrell.
What direction that is from here? No idea.
Jarrell went to the same gift well once again as...
South.
He went with the face...
Is it south, if you say so?
He went with the face palm earlier when we didn't include Ryan in the promo.
Give me something different.
When local radio hosts don't know their way around the local area, and he went with the face palm gif again. Who's that cute little girl? Is that from...
Cosby Show.
Was that the Cosby Show?
Yeah.
Or
is
I wasn't sure it was
is
that.
It
or,
Trudy?
I don't think it's Trudy. I think
Olivia.
It's when Trudy
it
got
Olivia?
Was no longer cute as she needed to be. They brought in the new girl. I think that's how it went. By the way, how is Bill Cosby's tour of going around explaining to people how not to get convicted of rape going?
Is he doing that?
He was going to. I think they decided to cancel that.
Yeah, it seems like a bad idea.
In a year of when the phrase bad optics has become a pretty prevalent phrase over the last year and a half or so, that may have been some of the worst optics we've seen in public life. Man, I hope they nail that SOB because I don't believe 40 women or whatever the number is are all making it up.
His right? lawyer quit yesterday.
His lawyer quit?
Yeah, Bill Cosby's lawyer quit yesterday.
Huh.
Surprising.
All right. Let's see. Tweet on Twitter, Duval Doom, of course he agrees with this. This shirt was, quote, exclusively designed by J.J. Watt. It's a plain blue polo, and it's $80. I hate J.J. Watt. And Doom said, I've never agreed with a tweet more in my life. It does look like a plain blue polo, but if you slap Kylie Jenner's face on it, it's got to be worth $125, right? $125?
Something, yeah. Easy. To somebody.
Easy peasy. Hey, if I could get away with it, I'd design a T-shirt. That's sold for $80, too. Instead, we give them away. Hashtag Jaguars today. We did give one away today for the teardrop graphic design on Ryan O'Halloran. That should be – can you slide that in? Because it's not that obtrusive. Can you get that switched out with your official profile picture on the Florida Times Union?
I've tried to get my picture changed for like 3 years now.
Oh, updated?
The one that appears in the paper
uh-huh.
is my employee ID picture.
Is that right?
This one is much more dashing. But and it would take an act of Congress at this point.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Not a lot in the budget for photo changes?
Too many lines of communication.
Mm.
Huh? What? Huh?
Yeah.
What? Huh?
You can't skip ahead there either. You got to follow the chain of command. And the newspaper business, Tony. They're rough customers mm-hmm. over there. Today we asked you, other than the quarterback position, what are you most concerned with heading into training camp? I think we're all concerned. Areas you're interested in seeing how they play out. That's a concern, right? So offensive line, I think, would be high on all of our lists. To me, if you want to narrow it down, it's specifically left tackle. How does that play out between Brandon Albert and Cam Robinson, and what happens to the loser of that race and the ripple effect that has on the offensive line? That's an easy one. What else leaps to mind? Give me one, Ryan, that leaps to mind for you.
I think the return game,
okay.
if you want to mix it up a little
sure.
bit. You sort of don't know who your kick returner is going to be, and they don't know who their punt returner is going to be. I'm sure they have options. But also, do you keep a guy specifically for that role? Corey Grant on kicks, or do you put Marquise Lee back there? Haven't seen Dede Westbrook catch a punt because
right.
he's been hurt. So how much do they feel like he can handle as a rookie? So that's one. As you mentioned, O-line, I'd say left tackle, right guard. And then if pick a third one, are they going to get enough of a pass rush from the defensive end position? After Ngakoue.
I think everybody, even including Ngakoue. What I want to, will they have that one guy emerge? And I guess you don't have to have it, but it's nice when you do have a guy that draws double teams and you can count on that. They haven't had that on the outside. They've had interior guys that have drawn double teams in recent years. But can you find one guy on the edge that can draw a double team? Bert, who apparently doesn't get the theme of what we're talking about. Hey, guys.
Quarterback.
In the gang world, a teardrop tattoo by your eye means you committed a murder. That's the point. Ryan was killing.
Figurative sense.
In the figurative sense, some of his enemies in the sports world earlier in the program, Bert, and somebody suggested every time he comes on, he adds another teardrop tattoo or something to that effect because another one of his victims is laid to waste. So, yes, we understand what the tear – did you think we're just randomly assigning wouldn't that be clever? Let's put a teardrop near his eye to look like he's crying. No, we didn't think that was the case. Also, Mike, do not back from vacation. Do not back off from vacation? All
do
right.
Do not come back from Thank vacation.
You. Oh, do not come back from vacation. Well, you could take it that way. I take it, Mike, please do not back off from vacation. So I will not. I will go headlong into vacation coming up in about 5 minutes. And my two-day grueling work week will be done out there as you listen to me hopefully breaking rocks by the side of the road. Do people break rocks for a living? I don't know. Tony, what about you? Give me one that we may not have mentioned. What's a concern other than the quarterback position heading into training camp for the Jags?
I would say safety. Look, we haven't seen those guys on the field at all. Tashawn Gibson was underwhelming, to put it politely, last season, his first year in a Jaguars uniform. So is he going to become, you know, a guy that was a Pro Bowl level free safety at one point in this league? Is he going to get back to that kind of form for this Jaguars team? What does it look like with him and Barry Church on the field? How improved are they? Really a strong safety with, look, I get it. Cyprian was a liability in coverage. He tackled as well as any safety in football last year. That's not everything you need out of a safety spot, but how improved are they with Barry Church coming in compared to Cyprian? Nobody knows to the answer to that question. And there's obviously questions about the depth of those two spots right now, too. Peyton Thompson, the likely backup at free safety, but who's the backup at strong safety, I think, is wide open right now as we head into training camp. So those safety spots, I think, to me, would be on that list, too.
All right, Tyler, what just came in that needs to catch our attention?
Fred Taylor going on a little bit of a rant. I don't know where this is coming from or what inspired this, but obviously many in Jacksonville believe that he should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and Fred's kind of tweeting through why he believes he should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So a couple tweets coming across here. Don't tell me anything about eras. The AFC had top defenses in my division alone. Ravens, Steelers, Titans, name a few. That's twice a year. Not just backs that have come and gone in NFL history, but better than the majority of backs in the Hall of Fame. I earn respect on the field. Numbers better than the majority of running backs in history. Still don't understand why the writers don't respect it.
I wonder what prompted that out of Freddie T. Maybe we'll get him on and talk about that. We'll do that next week when Tony's gone so I can fill some time with Freddie T. Tony, Twitter. Today had what to say about their concerns for the Jaguars.
Yeah, hold on, let me pull it up here.
Come on, Tony. What are you on?
I was
vacation?
Looking at Fred Taylor. Like I had gone somewhere else in the Twitter universe.
All right. Do you want me to start on some Facebook replies? Would that help you out?
I'm getting there now.
All right. You're there now?
It's slowly pulling up. Come on, computer.
All right, okay. Here we go. Facebook. No, we're not stealing that from the drill. Joshua, linebackers as a unit. Jack being in the middle is interesting, but he's still learning. Outside of that, I'll say it's the interior of the O-line and the ends on the defensive line as well. A lot of people would agree with that. Connor, has to be the performance of the O-line or the offensive line because of the correlation with Blake and Fournette's performances. Miles Jack filling the shoes of Paul Posluszny, and will special teams hold up their end of the bargain? I think special teams, you know, the breadcrumbs that they're leaving indicate they may be really good on special teams this year. I think they've got a chance to, because they focus, they've got the right coach, and I think they focused on bringing in core special team guys, Ryan, not just, you know, guys that they think are good backups at positions that will also use them out there. I think they're looking at guys specifically for what they're bringing in coverage and kick.
You can reel off four right away. Yeah, they re-signed Ben. Then they brought in Cole, McNary, and McCree. So those are guys that are going to be core guys. Real quick thought on Fred Taylor. 17th all-time in rushing, 11,695 yards. Only two guys in front of him aren't in the Hall of Fame, and they're both active, Gorin and AD.
There you go. So certainly Gil Brandt should have included him, we thought, in the top 32 of all time. When you look at those numbers, maybe, that would back that up.
Maybe Fred's reacting to that.
It could be, but that's a little bit of a delayed reaction, you know, although maybe he's just he coming off vacation or something
like
that.
Often.
No, he doesn't. Last ones were in June, I think, or middle of June. Russell said, my real concern is for opposing quarterbacks' health after dealing with Hunter Dimmick for 60 minutes. Dude is the true sleeper for us. There's a guy who's got a guy. Right? You got to have a guy in training camp, and Russell's is Hunter Dimmick. What do we get on Twitter, Tony?
Here's what we got from Colby, Hearns, left guard and tight end. From Brett, just one, getting my hopes up. From Stoff, run blocking, who is making the holes? Pass rush, where's it coming from? And special teams, can Myers be better? From Jarrell, left guard and right tackle. From Chris, pass rush, do we have any real threats? Interior offensive line and the offensive scheme, how different will it be when five has less attempts? From BCB Couch, health of the defensive backs, A-Rob and Hearns returning to 15 level of play, and pass rush from the edge. From Lucas, O-line depth, tight end top to bottom, and our wide receiver corp has an injury history, so that'll be number three. From Ryan, right guard, Can has been so bad, left tackle has been a revolving door, and offensive line unit run blocking, so a lot of offensive line there. From Max, winning the ability to score a rushing touchdown, and defensive backfield, free safety, strong safety, cohesion, hashtag Duval Destroyer, hashtag feed 'em. From Brian, how does the O-line shape up? Need more from Fowler this year. How healthy is Barry Church's back? Can Sample stay healthy? From Jag fan, safety starters been banged up this offseason, guard or center, whichever Linder doesn't play, tight end staying healthy. And finally, from Black Dog Express, offensive play calling, offensive line, and time management.
You know, I like when we get oddball ones or ones that aren't, you know, the one that everyone's repeating. But if James Sample's health is one of your top three concerns, you don't have many big concerns.
No. Right?
That would be great to be one of your major concerns heading into training camp. The three things we're not concerned about are Josie, T-Wig, and Rick Ballew, the midday chalk. Here, mere moments away. Josie, how are they rolling out at the King and the Bear, would you imagine, right now?
Tremendous. Yeah. Tremendous. They went through, I'm pretty sure, maybe 2 weeks ago, they went through a little overseed. They punched the greens. So everything's
You think
coming.
I'll be okay?
Everything's
2 weeks
in.
Later?
Oh, yes. That's where you're headed right now?
That's where I'm headed in about 5 minutes, buddy.
I believe it.
I've been told by some not to return.
And it's they don't want you back, huh?
Yeah, some don't.
Well, it's supposed to like kind of go through a little bit of a dry spell, so I don't think you have any rain dumping on you today, which
no,
good.
It looks great. I was looking at it as like 7% chance the rest of the day, something like that.
Go.
I'm looking forward to that.
What's the game?
The game's nothing in particular. Today is like the warm. Today's the bonus round.
Right.
Got my boy Bill in town.
I know.
Right?
That's why I'm trying to figure out who's giving who's.
He's already asking for a stroke a hole because he doesn't play that much. And basically, like the first time we played last year, he came down. We played like four or five times. And I beat him by about 18, right? Mm-hmm. He hadn't played in a couple of years. And then by the end of the week, I was just complaining because I was in the hole by like the fifth hole. He's making pars
he's
and
a
birdies.
Smart
and,
guy.
Oh, yeah. So I told him today's a kind of a baseline setter.
Oh,
we'll see where we are.
Yeah, you're going to find out what he's got.
Well, we're going to find out. He told me he's going to go out and shoot 140 today. And he says, there goes your baseline. So I don't know.
All right. I want to take you guys up to the Pirate Saloon in Fernandina.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, and then we'll have a round of beers.
Then we'll head west to Callahan?
Yep, and then we'll have a round of beers. I just want to make sure that I get you guys up to see beautiful Fernandina Beach, Ryan O'Hallen.
You know, I make it
I've
all
been
the
there.
Way
I just didn't know, like, I've been there. I just didn't know I was north.
Right. Like, yeah. I don't, like people are like, if you go to Amelia Island, you're basically at Fernandina. I'm like, okay, I've played golf at Amelia Island.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been up there. But if I'm going to go to the beach, I'm not going to drive to Fernandina Beach.
No. I just worry about O'Hara not going, what did you say, north of the airport?
Correct.
Yeah? I'm worried,
I've been
man.
Really all south.
Yeah.
That's
now,
right.
Generally, he only goes to the airport when he's flying, so he really said doesn't
exactly.
go north of Atlantic Boulevard.
North of Atlantic Boulevard. Wow. Now, I know you're a world traveler.
Well, they, have McDonald's, but... they have McDonald's south of Atlantic Boulevard, so he's good.
Taco Bell.
No, we just got to get you up there. Good people up there, the Pirates of Fernandina Beach.
Josie, what do you got coming up on the midday show?
Well, as a matter of fact, we got a couple of kickers from St. Aug.
Oh!
Cairo Santos and Caleb Sturgis.
That's right? South of here.
Yeah,
that
which is
south
of
here. We have such a Southside bias.
And they're actually down at Daytona doing a kicking exhibition, and along with the Sharks kicker, too, and they just won the title last night. So anyway, they're going to pass the phone down the line from Daytona. We'll talk with them. And then, of course, day two of the SEC, day before we head up to Charlotte for the ACC kickoff. I love what came out of the first day of the SEC media days, Alabama's still the best team in the conference.
You think?
Yeah, you think? And the problem is that there aren't any challengers right now from really the rest of the SEC, at least nobody that's made their name known here of late, which kind of sucks. It really does. Everyone wants to poke their chest out for the SEC. Only Alabama should be poking their chest out.
By the way, as I'm sure you're well aware, Seabass, Daytona Beach Seabreeze graduate, right, by way of Poland. But think about that. Three of the kickers in the National Football League from a very small geographical area.
That is pretty good. Janikowski has how long has he been in the league? It seems like 15.
2000.
Maybe
It was in 98 that he come out?
Okay, so.
I don't know. Might be a little bit later than that.
Good little run he's had.
I think he was worth the first round pick when you look at the career he had. Mm-hmm. You know, when the
he's
way everything played out.
Yeah.
All right. And
close
been one of the better guys in the National Football League. You never, you know, great on kickoffs, obviously, one of the strongest legs out there. If you're going to get that career out of a guy, you can justify a later first round pick on him. You just can't know
2000.
That. Most
2000.
Kickers.
Wow.
You can't. 2000. Okay. So in that ballpark.
Which ACC coach makes the trip worthwhile?
Well, this year it's Dabo because they won the national championship. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he has recruited his tail off and everyone said, well, this is not going to last. So, yeah, I'd put him up top. Mm-hmm. I'd put him up top. And then if going in order, Fedora's a good guy, but you'd want to go Dabo, Jimbo. Got to have some O's in your name. And then after that, probably Fedora. Justin Fuente, those guys. ACC's got a good group of coaches.
They got Ricked,
Yeah. Mark Rick, too, yeah.
Any truth to the rumor T-Wig was out sick yesterday because he was pulling double duty tomorrow with Fat Tony on Jaguars today?
He said, if I'm doing 5 hours straight tomorrow.
I'm definitely under the weather on Monday. T-Wig, tomorrow, Tony, you got Osh coming in on Thursday and the AFC South Roundtable on Friday.
That's the plan, yeah.
All right, Joe Z. We'll enjoy listening to the Midday Chalk,
at least
until we get to King and Bear.
Okay.
That
sounds good.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you in a bit. Joe C., along with Rick Blue and T-Wade, coming up the Midday Chalk here on 1010XL. Thanks to Ryan O'Halloran, dropping bodies in his wake all morning long on Jaguars Today from the Florida Times Union, at Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, and for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey, wrapping things up. Thanks to all of our tweeters and texters and callers out there today. Had a good number of you interacting with the show. We appreciate that. I'll be back next week. Tony will be gone. So pick your poison. You know what? If you're a hater, you're going to enjoy the next 3 days. If you're a Tony hater, you're in the vast minority. So most people will be sad next week. But that's the way it goes. I will talk to you next Monday. Tony will talk to you tomorrow. Midday Chalk talks to you next right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks. Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Sandwiches and Subs. Plenty of time to still tell you about the July Sandwich of the Month. Hope you're hungry because the three meat trio packs a punch. Starts with an Asiago cheese sub roll. Then they pile the Hormel top round roast beef high, butterball smoked turkey, some Black Forest ham, top it off with a little creamy Swiss cheese, and you're only going to find the sandwich for $3.99 at area Circle K and Kangaroo Expresses across the First Coast. That not your style? Well, you know Dandy has great options for breakfast now, for brunch, for lunch, anytime you're hungry for food on the go. Maybe you're heading to the beach for the weekend. Load up the cooler with some Dandy selections like the Boom Boom Chicken, the new April Sandwich of the Month, still going strong. All white meat chicken strips, Boom Boom sauce, pepper jack cheese on a locally fresh-baked Parmesan sub roll, and a steal of a meal itself at only $5. But the July Sandwich of the Month, the three meat trio at Circle K and Kangaroo Express for only $3.99. When you're hungry for food on the go, folks, do what I do. Go out and make yours a Dandy and do it today.
Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jeff Lagerman, David Garrard, and a cast of dozens.